Okay, and we're on to our final speaker, which I've heard is going to be our best speaker. And she has asked that I do her introduction in Mandarin, which is going to be tricky, but we will try. Wa ying ta jiao xi shang ta hen hao. I think I'll stop now. But, is that okay?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, good. And she will be speaking about the association between state physical education laws and student physical activity.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Xi Xiao. I'm from the HRP UIC, and I know this is the last talk of before lunch, so I'll keep other statistical results short. So I'll be talking about a study that investigates the association of relationships between state high school physical education laws and student physical activity. And this is a collaborative work with our senior research scientist, Dr. Jamie Shriki is here, and Drs. Erin Hennessy and Frank Perna from the NCI. And how do I put the page down? We have no relationships to disclose. First, I'd like to introduce some background information and aims of this study. As many of you already know, Healthy People 2020 and the National Physical Activity Guidelines recommend youth and children to engage in physical activity for at least 60 minutes per day. And in 2011 CDC report, they recommend students to participate in PE for at least 225 minutes per week. Unfortunately, in reality, many youth fall short of these recommendations or guidelines. And as we know from a previous presentation, higher graders showing a steeper dropping rate of PE participation, and statistics show 12th graders only spending about 82 minutes per week on PE classes, considering students spend about 30 to 30 hours per week in the school year. There is a lot of potentials for PE loss to increase their PA PE classes and also increase their overall PA by help them formulate the habit of exercising. So the aim of this study is to inform policymakers about association between high school PE laws and youth physical activity. So here is a summary of our primary findings. First, we find that PE laws that mandate high school PE to be at least 90 minutes per week are significantly associated with increased overall PA. So we measure a broad range of PA outcomes, including moderate exercise, vigorous exercise, and PE attendance and duration for PE. We didn't find any significant association between PE laws and muscle toning or stress training. And we also found greater association with PE attendance than with other PE outcomes. If you think about this, PE laws, they directly address PE. So it's not surprising that we see a stronger association of PE laws with PE attendance and duration. And sex association also appears to be more pronounced for female students than for male students. Although male students are more likely to engage in PA and attend PE, the effects of PE loss on physical activity are found to be more pronounced in for female students in the existing literature. And we also, the last finding is that this effects primarily others through increasing PE and moderate PA. Here is a brief overview of the data. So we are using individual level data to measure their physical activity. And the data comes from Youth Risky Behavior Survey, YRBS, of students in grades 9 to 12. This is a school-based survey that has been conducted since 1991, and it's also biannual. And we use data from 2005 to 2013, when PE law data was available. And the PE laws were obtained from the NCI's classification of laws associated with school students. And here is a link to the website that describes this class data. So the class data have compiled school tuition laws and school PE laws. So among school PELOS, they have information for staffing requirements, curriculum requirements, student fitness requirements. Among these requirements, most importantly, they also compile time requirements. And they also develop a rating system that measures the strength of this time requirement on a scale from 0 to 5. So 0 represents, in the state, there are no laws or recommendations of PE time. And 5 represents the state requires PE to be at least 225 minutes per week. And then we plot data, and we use a dichotomous variable, a binary variable, for PE laws that require PE to be at least 19 minutes per week. So those are the ratings from 3 to 5. So they are coded with 1, as you know, it's binary variable. And they are compared with those coded with 0, which are weak on no laws. They are ratings between 0 to 2. Here is a slide in this slide we show the PE outcomes that are measured in YRBS data. So YRBS data contains 6 questions that are related to PE outcomes, and 2 of them are regarding PE, including PE duration and PE attendance frequency. And they also have 4 questions that measure the general activity, including whether during the past 7 days, how many days they were physically active, and whether they participate in physical activity for more than 20 minutes, aerobic activities, and also whether they engage in any physical activities for more than 30 minutes that didn't make them sweat or breathe hard. So using these questions, self-reported questions, we can tell that we can measure the physical activities among high school students. And after plotting the answers, so for those questions, students answer from a 0 to 7 scale, so those are 0 to 7 days that they engage in physical activities. So after plot data, and then we see there is a clear pattern of U shape, so which means a lot of students, they report either not attending, engaging in any physical activity, or they do it daily. So we decided to categorize these variables into 3 levels, which are not attending PE or not engaging in any physical activity, or just doing it non-daily, and also we have a level to indicate them doing those daily. So we are going to use multinomial regressions to measure these 3 level outcomes. So these are the questions that we use to measure PE and PE duration. So as you can see that they also contain questions that ask students to report the minutes they spend per PE class. And again, to consistently estimate these outcomes, we categorize these answers into 3 levels. About our methods, so we are using 2 data sets, PE law data and PA outcomes from the YRBS data. And the class data, they compiled state PE laws that are effective as of December each year. So we lag this law data by 1 year. And then we link this lag data using state and year identifiers to the YRBS data so that we can analyze the association between PE laws, PE time requirements, and these PA outcomes. As I just said, these are 3 level comparables, so we use multinomial regressions. And all this analysis we did using FANO YRBS weights to be representative, and standard errors were clustered at state level to adjust for correlations between students who live in the same state. And we also conducted a set of sensitivity analysis by using just their answers in days. So we used negative binomial or the logit regressions, and the results are very similar, so we are not reporting those results here. Using this analysis, we have 3 hypotheses. So first, we hypothesized that in states with laws that mandate PE to be at least 90 minutes per week, youth engage in more PE. And the second hypothesis is that association between PE loss and PA is stronger for female students. This is based on existing literature. And we also hypothesize that association between this loss and PE frequency and duration is stronger than that PE loss with other PE outcomes, because if PE loss influence those PE outcomes, it's very likely to operate through increasing PE class attendance and duration. So here are the models that we use. In the first equation, we describe our baseline model. And in the second equation, we describe the model that we use to test the gender difference. So we basically adopted two methods to test the gender difference. First, we stratify the sample by gender, and we can separate regressions for each gender. And then we also use the second equation to test, to offer a statistical test of the gender difference in the association. And we control for individual level demographic characteristics such as gender, age, race, ethnicity, and weight. And we also control for state-level social demographic characteristics such as education level, median age, and unemployment rate. And other regressions also control for EFAC stats. This is a table to show summary statistics. We report mean and standard deviation. And in the first row, you can see that this the summary statistics show about 23 to 26% of our sample living state that have time requirements of PE to be at least 90 minutes per week. And then we report summary statistics for the outcomes. So remember that all of our outcomes are in three levels. So they are between 0 to 2, and the means are around 1. And here we report the PE outcomes. So we highlight all the important results. So there are three panels. Last panel, we report results for the pooled analysis, and in the middle panel, we report regression results for male sample, and in the right panel, we report it for female sample. And although there are four rows of regression results, they are actually reporting the same thing. So they are same results, but they are expressed in different forms. And first, we call the odds ratio and 95% confidence intervals. As you can see, the PE in states with PE loss that mandate PE to be at least 90 minutes, you can see the increased odds ratio of attending PE, of spending more time for PE classes, and odds ratio of doing this non-daily or daily were increased. And also, if you look at marginal effects, so remember these are the same effects that are reported in different ways. So we see a reduction in not attending PE. So if you see this first column, you can see that there is a reduction in the probability of not attending any PE. And these are the findings. I don't want to go over all these statements. One thing that I would like to highlight is in the last row, that we found that the probability of not attending PE is 21.4 percentage point, or 52% lower. So this is a very decent effect size. Again, if we go through all the coefficients and you know, the results that we found, we reported in that table, we also discovered that the association between PE time requirements and the PE outcomes primarily operates through increasing non-daily or moderate attendance. So the probability of attending PE non-daily is increased by 17.3 percentage points or 91.8%. Again, this is a very decent effect size. And the probability of spending 1 to 60 minutes in a PE class is increased by 20 percentage points of 46.8%. And here we report the results of other PE outcomes. This include being active during past 7 days, and also moderate to vigorous exercise. As you can see, all the significant results are highlighted to the right. And we report odds ratios and corresponding marginal effects and elasticity. Again, these are the same results reflected in different forms. And we found very similar patterns here. The only thing that activity that we don't find associated with PE loss are muscle toning or strength training. So that's the only PA outcome that we didn't find any significant association. So again, funding. For this PA outcomes that are not directly associated with PE classes, we find they are instead wear loss that require PE to be at least 90 minutes per week. We find the odds ratios are the odds of being active, doing vigorous exercise, doing moderate exercise are increased. And again, the probability, if you see the last statement here, the probability of not being active is 3.4 percentage point or 17.8% lower. So again, this is also a reversible effect, but it's smaller than the association between PE loss and PE class attendance or duration, which are more direct outcomes. And here these are the results that we already showing the in the table. So we found that all these outcomes, including vigorous exercise and moderate exercise, we find that the PE loss is associated with a reduction in probability not doing this exercise. So again, it's about 10% to 26% lower. They are smaller than the effect size for the PE outcomes, but it's still sizable. So here we discover slightly different patterns between the association of the association between PE loss and PE outcomes. So for those PE outcomes that are not directly related to PE classes, in marginal terms, the probability of the association is primarily operates through increasing daily attendance, practice of being active, vigorous exercise, moderate exercise, as you can see we report, if I said again in this slide. Finally, we come to the results about gender difference. So here we report the results from estimating equation 2, as you might remember. So in equation 2, we have an interaction term to analyze the difference in the association by gender. So all you need to focus on is the second column in each panel. So we highlight the significant results from right, which shows we find a significant gender difference. So as you can see in the left upper panel, so that means we see a stronger reduction in not attending PE for female students. So these are the results for other exercises and the PE outcomes. And again, we see that for moderate exercise, we see a greater reduction in the probability of not doing moderate exercise for female than for male. So this is a summary slide for gender difference findings. So the results in general suggest very similar patterns in gender differences compared with results from stratified analysis. We also offer this formal statistic test that shows the association between PE loss and increased moderate exercise and PE attendance and time spent in PE are more prolonged for female students, so they are statistically significant. Again, these are our major conclusions and takeaways, just to refresh your memory. And first, we find that PE loss and mandate high school PE to at least 90 minutes per week as significantly associated with increased overall PA. And we find a greater association between PE loss and PE attendance than between PE loss and other PE outcomes, which is not surprising because PE attendance and duration are more direct outcomes of PE loss. And we find that this association appears to be more pronounced for female students than for male students. And this effect is primarily altered through increasing PE and moderate PA. I also want to say that I think the limitation of this study is that we can't control for state phase effects, so we're not doing a difference approach to analyze causal effect. I think these are very important findings that could have significant public health impact especially after we learned from the Healthy People 2020 that since 1991, the high school student participation of PE has not increased. So this offers a potential solution to increase physical activity and PE attendance duration of high school students. And this is our funding statement. We would also like to thank Betsy, who compiled the legal research for us and compiled the data. And this is supported by the NCI, with that flow through. And this is my contact information. Thank you.
We have a couple minutes for questions. Yes. All right. Oh, there you go.
I noticed one thing, and it goes back to the Healthy People 2020 muscle strengthening. And we're not seeing an emphasis on that in the school requirement. And we're not meeting that as easily as we are with physical activity guidelines. So I'd have to check other defined again in the Healthy People. But that seems to be borne out in these findings that
yes.
We're not putting enough emphasis on that.
I think there is some limitation in terms of how to interpret these results because the time requirements laws that we use, they don't specify, you know, whether they require, you know, how many times should be spent on stress training. And also in terms of the outcome data, and the YRBI is only contain two waves that contain such questions that we can use to measure stress training. So there could be effects association, but in terms of this study, we certainly have limitations that we can't answer about whether there could be potential effects of state PE laws that perhaps potentially may increase stress training.
But I think the thing to your question, though, these laws really have not changed over time.
Your outcomes to 5 and 6 days of physical activity for 2 reasons. 1 weekend might be weird for older kids who work, and also recommendations to take a rest day I think are very confusing. So if someone's working out 6 days a week and they're taking a rest day and they think they're doing everything perfectly, then they're not going to be checking yet they worked out 7 days.
So the answer in this, so we do know that how many days they spend during 7 days. So we definitely could conduct sensitivity analysis by taking account of that. But unfortunately, I think YRBS data doesn't have any employment status information. Otherwise, we can do a more interesting analysis by looking at a difference between those who work and those who don't. But again, we have those information, so we can definitely play with the data by recategorizing those days into different levels, so just using, you know, the days that they answer in the analysis. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good lunch.
Thank you.